I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Future Brew, our Michigan football and basketball recruiting podcast here on MaizeandBrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon. Joining me today are my usual co-hosts, John Simmons and Steven Ossentoski. The band is finally back together, all three of us. But today we have a very special guest, generous enough to join us on this week's podcast, is Bryce Marich, who is a recruiting insider over at TheMichiganInsider.com. Bryce, thanks a lot for joining us today. How are you doing today?
Good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we appreciate you joining us for today's podcast, and it's quite an important one because going down the stretch here for the 2021 class, we got a pretty big decision coming up this weekend with Rocco Spindler, the in-state guard. He's a top 50 player, highly coveted player from the state of Michigan, from Clarkston, obviously plays high school there with teammate Garrett Dellinger, who is already committed to LSU, as you all probably know by now, another top 100 kid. So big decision coming this weekend from Rocco. He's down to a few finalists here, Michigan obviously being one of them, Notre Dame being another real big school. He has interest in Penn State as well as Ohio State and LSU. So, Bryce, I'll just ask you real quick to start off here. Where are things heading here in this down the stretch? Obviously, just a few days left until he decides. It sounds like Michigan's in pretty good shape, but it also sounds like Notre Dame is in really good shape as well. So, as of today, how are you feeling? I know you've got your crystal ball in on U of M. Do you plan on changing that at all?
As of now, I'd probably say no. I'm going to stick with Michigan on that pick. 6'5", 315. Like you said, in-state lineman from Clarkston, Michigan. I think it's down to Notre Dame, Michigan. Both it's tied right now in the crystal ball right now for 24/7. He's the guy that he's still in that deliberation process. I know both staff, Notre Dame, Michigan, they both feel kind of good, but a little cautiously optimistic. So they're kind of feeling it out, kind of waiting. They don't want to pressure the kid too much during this week leading up to his decision. But at the same time, you know, they're not going to forget about him. They're still going to reach out to him. So it's a big decision coming up. But I think as of now, I'm going to stick with Michigan. I think player development is going to push Michigan over the edge. I've said long before on our own podcast for 24/7 that I kind of get a Braden McGregor feel to this recruitment. I'm not saying it's going to play out like Braden's, but I think in the end, he's going to stay home and go to Michigan. But I'm not confident on that pick. I put in that crystal ball, I want to say, like over a year ago. So it's not a fresh one. It's not – I don't even know what my confidence level is on mine, but I would say right now it's not that high. So he can honestly, I want to say it's like 50-50, but if gun to head, I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick Michigan.
Yeah, it really seems like it is a 50-50 split at this point, not only just with the crystal balls, but just kind of where things are heading. One day it'll seem like Michigan's out in front. The other day it kind of seems like Notre Dame pushes right back and they get – out ahead. John, that's a really good lead in, Bryce. I was going to ask John about this recruitment kind of seeming like Braden McGregor-esque. And is that kind of how you feel too, John? Where's your head at here with all that's been going on leading up to this commitment coming on Saturday?
Yeah, definitely. I think it makes a lot of sense. There's a ton of similarities between the two. They're both in-state kids, but have Notre Dame as the top contender there. And I know last year during the McGregor commitment, we talked a lot, Vaughn, and how I was super nervous about it, and you were pretty confident he'd pick Michigan. So this decision has me even more probably up in the air than McGregor's, which kind of makes sense. There is a lot more consensus around the general experts at 24/7 that McGregor was going to choose Michigan. So this one's a little less certain, I'd say. And so it's kind of even more of a balancing act. But I also think it's similar to how the two kids have kind of acted on social media. I think both kind of had a Notre Dame kind of lean to the stuff that they post a lot. So I wanted to ask you, Bryce, about what you make of that with in regards to Spindler, you know, how he interacts with Notre Dame fans and commits and stuff on social media, and if there's anything to that.
You know, I don't really look into relationships too much. I think sometimes they get overplayed. I know Michigan has good relationships with him. He talks with Gio, Raheem Anderson. He plays video games Fortnite. Raheem told me when I went to go visit for a private workout earlier this summer. So he's got relationships on both sides, and I don't really look too much into that. But I think, you know, obviously one relationship I think is really good. He's got on Notre Dame is Jeff Quinn. He's really established that relationship for months. He likes talking to him. They talk all the time. But the same can be said for Coach Warner. And on top of Coach Warner, he's got that impressive resume of sending guys to the league, which I don't think Quinn has right now for Notre Dame. So it's going to be interesting. But in terms of relationships, I don't think that's going to be the biggest deal for him.
Yeah, I'm kind of with all of that. I kind of think that the relationship, it's kind of just a little bit from time to time. But yeah, I mean, he's going to have good relationships with whichever top school he's really interested in, Michigan, Notre Dame. I'm sure he's got good conversations and things with Penn State coaches and players as well. So, but leading into this commitment here, it's finally going to die down this weekend for Rocco Spindler. It may die down pretty soon as well for another offensive lineman that Michigan's going after, Drew Kendall. It seems like they've been recruiting him for a really long time as well. And reading Bryce's work, Bryce has been doing, honestly, some really good work on Drew Kendall and keeping up with the articles that Bryce has been writing about him. With given everything that's been going on, it seemed like he wanted to commit months ago, just never happened. And then Rocco releases his decision date. Drew Kendall's still kind of up in the air, it seems like. So, Bryce, I wanted to ask you, is Rocco's decision like the number one reason why Kendall hasn't committed to Michigan yet? And do you think that a commitment will be coming from Kendall soon to his future school soon after Rocco commits?
Yeah, you had a good point. You know, I've been covering him pretty in depth for a couple of months now, talking to him almost weekly. And I just got the vibe of Michigan's definitely way out in the lead, to the point of I put a crystal ball on a while ago and I thought he was going to commit. That hasn't been the case. He's been inching closer and closer to a decision. But at the same time, I think, like you mentioned, I think he's paying attention to the numbers. And I think he understands who's left on the board. He's talked to me about interior offensive linemen. He knows how many Michigan has, kind of how many they would take. And I think he's going to get – honestly, at this point, I think he's going to wait for Rocco and see what Rocco does. And this is just my opinion. I have no intel on this. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but – I feel like if Rocco goes to Michigan, Kendall will not be coming to Michigan. But if Rocco doesn't go to Michigan and goes to another school, I think Kendall will come to Michigan. So I don't think that's Michigan's choice. I think if they both really wanted to come, they would. But I think that's just kind of where they are with Kendall and Rocco, their mindset, probably more so Kendall. So he's taking his time. He's really considering all his options too. I know it's Boston College, Penn State. He's looking at other schools too, Duke, Stanford. He wants to get out to Stanford. That school he really likes, hasn't been able to. So at this point, I think it's Michigan's to lose, but I think they could lose him if they get Rocco. So it's not – in my opinion, I look at this whole offensive line recruiting as a win-win for Michigan. You know, if they could get one of these guys, that's great. It's a top 150 lineman either way. So – you can't really complain. But yeah, I think he is kind of waiting and seeing what Rocco's going to do at the end.
That's kind of a vibe that I got too from this whole thing, because it really seemed like a commitment was coming. I want to say I just the way that things were playing out and the things that I was reading, it really seemed like a commitment was going to come sometime in May or June from Drew Kendall, and it just kept getting pushed back, and then Rocco released his decision date, and all of a sudden, yeah, it kind of just this seems like he's waiting on Rocco to commit somewhere. And yeah, you brought up Stanford being a school that he likes, and I believe he's a legacy to Boston College, so they're kind of like one of the constants in his recruitment as well. I want to bring Steven in to discuss all of this offensive line recruiting here. Obviously, if Rocco commits to, let's say, Notre Dame and Drew Kendall ends up coming to U of M, that, like Bryce said, that really is a win-win, just given the fact that they're both top-ranked kids. Obviously, Rocco's in your backyard, so you'd probably prefer to have him, but not really a consolation prize to bring in the number 126 overall player in the country and the number 8 overall guard as well. And he stands 6'4", 255, so he's going to have a lot of work to do in the strength and conditioning program at U of M if he were to commit to U of M. But yeah, Steven, again, not really much of a consolation prize here. This would be a pretty big win for U of M to reel in Drew Kendall if they do miss on Rocco Spindler.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that he's ranked as high as he is, given that he still has, you know, a little bit of work to do in the weight room. He still can shore up his technique. Usually these guys, I feel like you see him closer to the 250, 300 range where they're, you know, top-notch prospects. But especially being on the inside, he has a lot of work to do, and that just speaks to how high his ceiling really is. Despite being 255, he's, you know, clearly a four-star. He's, you know, a couple, you know, 50 spots away from five-star status. So being that undersized and that and from the Northeast, you just don't really see that sort of ranking. So like you said, that's really not a consolation prize. I would take this guy in a heartbeat, and his crystal balls thankfully are all five or sixes for Michigan and no one else. It'll be interesting to see, you know, Bryce, you can attest to this or not, if he's been waiting this long for a, you know, for the numbers and figuring out what his early playing time would look like, or, you know, just how other schools are filling up. You know, is he going to follow his dad, who's a 13-year NFL vet, and go to Boston College? Or, you know, he has Duke, he has Stanford interest, as you said, or Dartmouth even as an offer. So he's a high academic guy. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but it's also pretty interesting. They're two very different offensive guard prospects. They're the same height, but you got Rocco, who's a mauler right now. He's 315. Yeah. You'll have to watch his weight a little bit. And then for Kendall, there will be a little bit of a project, but still both, you know, right around the same ranking. So it's pretty, yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, man. It certainly is exciting for U of M, especially given the haul that they've already brought in on the offensive line. There's a lot to be excited about moving forward. You know, I know that Ed Warner got a lot of flack as a recruiter at some of these other schools that he's been at, whether it's Notre Dame or Ohio State or wherever, but he's done really good work at U of M, and you would expect that to continue moving forward. But
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Transitioning to another offensive player here, another guy that I wanted to ask Bryce about was Donovan Edwards, obviously another big in-state guy, number 34 overall on the composite, the number 3 ranked running back. Arguably, you could say that he is the top-ranked running back in this class. 5'11", 190 from West Bloomfield. Pretty much all the crystal balls are in on U of M at this point. But he's been open to other schools. He's taken a visit to Georgia, and I know that he is communicating quite a bit with the Oklahoma coaching staff. So, Bryce, where is Michigan at in this recruitment? In my opinion, just reading up on everything, and I've spoken with Donovan a couple times, I think it's going to be U of M at the end of the day. I wouldn't really be too worried about this one if I were a Michigan recruiting fan following all of this stuff, but you still do have to worry about Georgia and Oklahoma and some of these other top-ranked schools that have offered him. But in my opinion, U of M is probably out in front here. What do you say, Bryce?
You know what? I'd probably agree with you on that assessment. I got a crystal ball in from Michigan. I want to say I might have been the first one for the Michigan crystal balls to be put in. That was quite a bit ago. He's gotten like Kendall and Spindler, though. He's probably going to take his time. He wants to take his visits. You mentioned some of those schools, Oklahoma, Alabama, I know he wants to get out to a couple other schools. And so he still wants to get out there. But, you know, if they don't have a season and if you can't really make these visits unless they're a dead visit or dead period visit, which means kind of these self-guided visits and, you know, you're not having, you can't really talk to the coaches. You can't really see anyone. It's kind of tough. You can't get that full experience. Whereas at Michigan, he's been there several times. He's got a really good relationship with all the coaches. I mean, every coach too. Yeah. Got a good relationship with all the commits. And honestly, I think in this recruitment, Michigan has done a fabulous job in terms of their recruiting approach, not pushing him, really prioritizing him, saying, you're our guy, we're going to wait for you. No rush. You know, the class is filling up, but don't worry. You have a spot. You are our guy. You are the centerpiece of our class. And I think that's resonating with him. I think that's playing a big deal in his recruitment. I know Ohio State really pushed for him. Some of these schools have kind of pushed. And Michigan's been the mainstay throughout his whole recruitment. So I think in the end, like you said, I think Michigan will win this one. He's a local guy. He's got a couple teammates up there. So there's a lot of arrows pointing towards Michigan's favor. And I like Michigan in this.
Yeah, Michigan's got a lot going for him when it comes to this recruitment, especially considering that they don't have another running back commit in this class. He would probably be the only one to come in to this 2021 class, and they'd probably look to take a couple in 2022. I know there's a lot of really good running back prospects in that class, but that is a conversation to be had another day. John, I wanted to talk to you just about that fact that Donovan Edwards probably would be the one running back guy to come into Michigan for 2021. Because at this moment in time, options are running pretty slim here. So Michigan better hope that they do land Edwards if that is the case.
Yeah, I think that originally it looked like they were going to take two, but then as the cycle went on, Donovan Edwards just kind of took up more and more of the spotlight. I know that they did just send out the official visit to or the official offer on August 1st to Tavier Dunlap, the running back from Texas, who I think they really like too. And so I think he's probably the next guy up if they miss on Edwards. So I think they're not putting all of their eggs in that basket, but it's pretty much laser focused on Edwards at this point. If they end up missing on him, they'll probably push for Dunlap, you know, guys like Alton McCaskill or a couple others still on the board that they could go after. But I think if it's anyone but Edwards in the class, it'd kind of be a disappointment at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you pretty much got to go all in. I like you said, maybe they don't have all the eggs in the basket, but in my opinion, they probably should, especially given that he's a top 50 player, borderline five-star, right in your backyard. Lots of connections there, so hopefully good news comes for Michigan whenever Donovan Edwards decides to announce his commitment. So I want to wrap up this conversation here with Bryce Marich with a couple guys on defense and specifically defensive tackle. And I know that defensive tackle is a position that U of M fans definitely want to see some improvement at. And I think if there is a 2020 season to be played, I think there will be improvement. But specifically on the recruiting trail, I know that people are crazy about D tackles and whether they weigh 300 pounds or not. but let's talk about a couple of these guys, one of them also being in Michigan's backyard in Oak Park, Rayshon Benny, top 200 kid, 6'5", 275. He's a two-way lineman, but Sean Nua is leading the way there. They want him on defense. And then George Rooks being another top 200 guy. He's 6'4", 260 from Jersey City, New Jersey. Couple crystal ball predictions for Michigan there as well. So Bryce, what are you hearing about these guys' recruitments? Do you think that Michigan would take both? It kind of seems like maybe at this point it's one or the other, kind of like it is on offensive line. And especially given that they've already got a few D-line recruits committed to the 2021 class. So do you think they'd take both, or do you think it's a one or the other situation here?
First off, I want to just say, well, with a lesson recurring, nothing is certain. So what I could say now could change a minute from, you know, what I just said. But I think if those were the two guys you told the Michigan staff and said they want to come, Michigan will welcome them with open arms. Those are two top four-star guys, both guys that I think could make an impact. I mean, honestly, I've been saying this too. I think Rayshon Benny is maybe one of the top overall targets left for Michigan. I think he's probably even higher than Rocco Spindler. Michigan has recruited that offensive line extremely well. So let's say they were to miss on Rocco and you get a guy like Drew Kendall, you can way develop him and just let him grow and build and go through that strength conditioning program. Whereas Rayshon Benny is a 6'5", 275. He's definitely going to get bigger. I've seen him play. He's an elite player. He can play on both sides, but they like him on defense. It works out because that's where Michigan wants him as well. So, and that's where he prefers. But yeah, he's a guy that I think if you're looking at the board right now, you know, he's not as high as Donovan Edwards or, you know, Rocco Spindler, but in terms of position and state need, just the school he's at, I think he checks all those boxes and he would be a huge land. So he's a good guy. They really want George Rooks. He's got that legacy to, want to say Syracuse. I want to say his dad played there, but his sister went to Michigan. She got her master's there. So he's got a tie to Michigan. He's been to Michigan several times. Both of these guys have taken dead period visits where they took those self-guided visits to Michigan. I know they both really enjoyed it. So those are guys they would love to add. And I like you asked, if they both wanted to come, I think they would make it work and they'd both take those guys.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well, just given the talent of those two guys. And you're going to have to get some already ready guys at defensive tackle, because a few of these guys that they've taken kind of seemed like a couple years in the making. They would develop their bodies and then start out at D tackle. But obviously Aaron Lewis transferring kind of changes the way that they go about recruiting the position. So Steven, I wanted to bring you back in as well. Again, if they miss on one of these guys, but hit on another one, it certainly would not be a consolation prize whatsoever, but two really talented guys left for Michigan on defensive line in this class would be a really good way to shape the D line moving forward if they were to get one or both of those guys.
Yeah, Michigan's in good standing. I like that. While I do like the approach Michigan's taken of having some strong side defensive end prospects that could likely grow into the position, these are guys that are almost surely already at the defensive tackle position. So that's what excites me most, where, you know, while there still might be some work on them, they're going to be initially slotted at that position. So there's not a whole lot of, you know, what position will they grow into or you know, where will they end up? Both with Benny and George Rooks, they're surely defensive tackle prospects. And Bryce, I want to get your input there on, do you kind of agree with that, where obviously Michigan's had some guys move on and a little thin at that position? Is that a case for either one of these recruits where they're looking at the depth chart and see early playing time, or is this just a case of it happens to be the right guys at the right time?
I think it's a combination of both. I think you're onto something there. I think they do. A lot of guys nowadays look at the depth chart. They want to see, you know, they want to play as you know, as soon as possible. And I think obviously with Michigan, they have some young bodies in there, but at the time, unproven young bodies. So I think right now Michigan has talked to Rooks about playing on the outside. I don't, is the Aiden Hutchinson position kind of on that side, but I project him to play inside. I can't see him playing anywhere else but inside for Michigan. And with Benny, he's definitely going to be inside. So I think it's a combination of both those. But yeah, I think depth chart does help Michigan a lot, both these recruitments, and especially just, you know, proximity home and being familiar with the campus in terms of, you know, Benny obviously being local, but Rooks having his sister going there and been to a game, been to just normal day visit, seeing the campus with students around. So he's seen it all as well, despite being from New Jersey. So I think that helps as well.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, Michigan can't go wrong with either one of those guys if one of them decides to go elsewhere. Bryce, I really appreciate you hopping on the podcast today. Real good stuff. And plug yourself for the listeners. Where can they find you on Twitter, and where can they find your work at?
I am on Twitter as Bryce, B-R-I-C-E, Marich, M-A-R-I-C-H on Twitter. And I'm on the Michigan Insider on 24/7. So definitely take a look at us. I know you guys do a great job as well on Mason Brew. So I love what you guys got going on over there as well.
Well, we appreciate that, Bryce. Thank you very much. And yeah, go follow Bryce's work. He does real solid work slinging crystal balls in favor of the good guys most of the time, hopefully at least. John, where can they find you on Twitter, my friend?
At Simmons_John.
Steven Asantoski, where are you on Twitter?
At Steven Toski.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. Be sure to follow Mason Brew also at Mason Brew. Give Mason Brew a like on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to rate and subscribe to all of the podcasts here on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Again, thanks to Bryce for taking some time here to speak with us about some of Michigan's top 2021 guys left on the board. Until next time, go blue.